everyone, it's Karima here. I just want to thank you for listening to the Blur Girl podcast and for your continuing support. And I wanted to let you know that I now have a Patreon. That's right. If you are interested in supporting the Blur Girl podcast or the Blur Girl live show on Twitch or any of the other content that I bring you on a regular basis, you can now go to patreon.com/theblurgirl and support. Now, I use those funds only for Blur Girl projects, buying gear, paying for software, subscriptions, and hopefully hiring a team. And with your help, I can do all that. So please support the show at patreon.com/theblurgirl. That's theblurgurl. What's up, folks? I'm Karima, aka The Blur Girl, and welcome back to The Blur Girl Podcast. We've made it to a brand new year. Now, this might be the first week of the year, but it also happens to be the last week of Season 3 of Star Trek Discovery. And because of that, I'm going to dip into the vault and share with you an interview that I actually had with a member of the cast last year. So if you are a Trekkie, you are going to love this episode. Now, in this interview, I'll be talking to actor David Ajala, who plays Cleveland Booker, a new character on Discovery this season. Now, he's been on this podcast before. In fact, back in 2019... Oh my God, that feels like 15 years ago. But yeah, back in 2019, we had a call when he was still playing Manchester Black on Supergirl. Now, if you follow me on social, then you also saw us running around New York Comic Con that year. And he was also on the San Diego Comic Con party boat with us as well. In fact, that night at the Blurred and Bougie party at San Diego Comic Con was when I first found out he was going to play Book on Star Trek Discovery. This interview was originally recorded back in September of 2020. You can watch the entire video version up on YouTube. But don't worry, if you hadn't had a chance to watch the show on CBS All Access, it's okay. There aren't any spoilers for this season in this at all. Maybe the previous seasons, but not this one. So after I pay some bills, check out my interview with actor David Ajala. Do you run a hosted website on WordPress, or is your site really slow? Have you gotten hacked in the past and you just didn't know what to do? Well, if so, you need SiteGround. Now, I am a SiteGround affiliate. I'm also a customer. In fact, I switched theblurgirl.com over to them and never looked back. In fact, I've put other people onto them for two reasons: reliability and customer service. You can try it yourself at siteground.com/go/theblurgirl. That's siteground.com/go/theblurgirl. Now, unlike some other hosting sites that have a really great affiliate program and seem to be really popular, many of them don't have customer service. SiteGround has great customer service. They don't talk to you like an idiot. If you can't find something, they'll help you work through it. They have a really easy control panel, and SiteGround is really the truth. You can start hosting your site today for as low as $3.95 a month. You can run a store, a blog, anything really. And they can even move your whole existing site over for you from another hosting service, and you don't have to worry about a bunch of code and stuff. So if you've been blogging or running a website for a while now, it's time to take your site and its security seriously and move up to SiteGround. Sign up today at siteground.com/go/theblurgirl. David, the last time I saw you face to face was New York Comic Con almost exactly right. A year ago.
That's wild.
Isn't it? Because it feels like
that
18 years ago.
Wild. That is wild.
So I have to ask, like, how are you? Like, since then, back then you were actually talking to me about playing Manchester Black, like bringing close. Yeah. And then you were standing there looking at your outfit from Star Trek Discovery.
That's right. Because they had a whole setup for that, which was so awesome for the Star Trek universe. And I remember we had a little tour around, and then we had a little look at the costumes.
Yes, and we ran around New York Comic Con, and I did not know that you did not let your handlers know. And it's like, all of a sudden, I was responsible. That was terrifying.
You were so smooth with it, though. You felt like my handler, so it just felt easy. It felt
I was like, how many people at CBS can I text right now?
That was the funniest thing. And then I remember Jen from CBS at the end was like, David, what are you doing
here? Yeah, she was like, who are you and where did you go?
We need to get you in a cab straight to your hotel so you don't miss your flight.
Exactly. But that was so much fun. Like that, it's like I said, it seems like 15 years ago. It seems like probably even longer than that, that you shot your first episodes for Discovery.
Yeah.
Between then and now, how are you and how are you doing out there in London?
In good old London. Well, one thing I have to say is we finished wrapping the season at the end of February. We wrapped literally 10 days before we all went into lockdown.
Oh, wow.
Huge blessing in a very selfish way that we were able to get to complete the season. And I just remember it being very surreal, having, you know, come off the back of doing this amazing show and, you know, completing the season and the season finale and just being wonderfully exhausting. Then here we are back in the real world and then we're all on standstill and everyone's confined to being in their homes and there's this weird energy around because we're all trying to get to grips with understanding this pandemic. This time has really allowed me to quantify my gratitude. I'll say that for sure. And it's something I've always been aware of. And I'd like to think that I am someone who is thankful for what he has. But now more than ever, it's really allowed me to quantify my gratitude. And there's been some really weird parallels between Star Trek Discovery Season 3 and what's happening in the world right now.
Really? The show is already groundbreaking because I mean in so many ways, not just, you know, Sinequa Martin Green's involvement as Michael Burnham, but also the diverse cast of characters. And then even if we look at Picard and what is to be human, the rights of individuals, what is an individual, who gets to speak for those individuals? Like there's these themes. And it's funny because I hear a lot of people like, you know, politics shouldn't be in my science fiction. I'm like, have you ever watched Star Trek?
Yeah.
Ever.
Like, yeah. How can you separate the two?
Without spoiling season 3, can you give us an idea of some of those themes, those parallel themes that you were just
One is, so in the recent trailer, Michael Burnham asks Cleveland Booker, what's the burn? And the burn is a very significant moment which has happened. And it completely changed the landscape of multiple galaxies. The burn has such weird, disconcerting parallels to COVID-19.
Oh, wow.
It's even talking about it now is wild.
Yeah.
And no one could ever have anticipated that. Later on in the season, there is one episode which I knew it was powerful, but I didn't understand why it was so powerful. And then when I thought back on the entire season and that specific episode, the parallels and connectivity to the Black Lives Matter movement really touched me.
Wow.
And I don't think it was intentionally written like that. It just wasn't. But then I go back in my mind and I see it, and it is exactly that.
Yeah, I mean, they couldn't have been unless somebody does have a time-traveling device like Michael Burnham and has seen this, in which case I am very upset at them because they could have told us something.
Right?
A warning would have been nice.
A little heads up or something.
Right.
You know?
As I sip tea from my anarchist state. Yes. Yes.
I love how you're sipping tea.
I have to. Well, it's really funny. It's coffee in the morning, but it's always tea in the afternoon. My mother's from Bermuda. It's a British owned colony and had tea and toast in the afternoon. And that's how I was raised. Tea and
toast. You can't go wrong. Next time you should try tea and crumpet. That's also good.
But see, you can't get a good crumpet in anarchy.
Yeah. I was thinking that actually before I suggested it. Yeah, stick the tea and toast. That's a sure bet.
It's very strange, this parallel universe. Like, and it's hard because right now I think everything that we do, we're looking at reality versus fiction and what is basically really putting its mark on the other. And for you coming into a franchise that is actually has this long legacy, but now in a season that is going in a different direction, because correct me if I'm wrong, because we are now in this future is outside of Star Trek, The Next Generation, Voyager, you know, even Picard. It's not in the same necessarily That's right. universe, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So was that freeing for you a little bit? Were you like, oh God, the Trek fans, let me make sure I have all of it right. And then, or do you not have to worry about that?
I mean, there's two ways of answering that. First and foremost, I think it creates so much room for exploration and discovery, which is what Star Trek is all about. But in saying that, it's almost like you're given so much freedom as a writer. And, you know, hats off to Michelle Paradise and Alex Kurtzman, who are the showrunners on Star Trek Discovery, because now they're operating outside of canon. So you have to make the executive decisions to figure out what you're going to hold on to, the touchstones of what makes Star Trek Star Trek, what elements you're going to keep, and then what elements you're going to reinvent or recreate. So it's always a juggling act of trying to find the sweet balance. But I think the overall arcing theme should always be about optimism and the power in working together as a team.
Now, you as the artist and the art that is your work, do you approach your roles, whether or not it is Star Trek or any other project that you have, a little bit differently? Are you looking at scripts a little bit differently based on what's going on in reality?
No one has ever asked me that, but you're about to get a very good answer. When I received the phone call, 2 days before receiving the phone call from the guys on Star Trek, about my manager called me and said the guys on Star Trek wanted to speak to you about this new character. Prior to that, this role came up for this TV series. And I read the script. I liked the people who were involved. But the reason why I turned it down is because it was something that I felt I had already done. Mm. And I didn't want to repeat myself. So I kind of kept my options open. And then a few days later, I got a phone call from Star Trek. And at the time, I didn't understand or see how I would fit within that world of Starfleet. Because I think David, as the artist, as the resident on planet Earth, kind of felt a bit rebellious. Mm. I didn't really want to conform to things. I didn't know what it was. I just felt a bit, if everyone's going right, I'm going to the left, purposefully. So when they pitched this idea about this character and, you know, and they described his arc and who he is, it just felt like the right gig for me to do. Because they pitched a character that was so unfamiliar to myself. Mm-hmm. But then so selfless in the most wonderful way, and who was guided by a real sense of a good moral compass. It just felt very right. So they gave me some sides of the script. I went away, did some work, sent through my tapes, and they said yes. They said yes because I knew it was going to be me. And not because I just wanted the gig because it would be cool. No. It's so much more deeper than that, you know? So going back to your question, I often try and put myself in a position when I'm taking on board a character to inhabit the life of this character. It has to come from a place of necessity. Mm-hmm. That's where I try and operate from, because I just believe you're able to bring the character to life in a way that people will really, really connect with.
So tell me a little bit more about Cleveland Booker. And we've heard what's different. What is similar? What is it that makes you go, oh, I can't wait for them to see this character? I cannot wait for them to hear the lines like that he says. What excites you about Cleveland?
What excites me is that we're looking at Starfleet. Starfleet is a wonderful team of individuals who are encouraged and championed to embrace their curiosity and championed to embrace their intellect. They all wear the same uniform. Mm-hmm. And have the same common goal. Cleveland Booker doesn't wear a uniform. He is the master of his own fate. And getting to operate within Starfleet and ruffle feathers just because of who he is and the energy that he has, and being able to break the rules without the repercussions. I don't know, I just found it very appealing.
I don't know why you think this is not like you, Mister. I'm going to run around New York Comic Con and not tell anybody where I am. This sounds exactly like the David I know, but okay.
I don't know. It just felt really appealing just to be naughty. I think there's just something mischievous about me, and I learn it more and more when I connect to certain characters. Because
You're
prior
meaning.
to, I would never have known or never have been aware.
And I mean,
And punished.
we're all really, really excited to see this. And I wish you could tell me everything about this character, but I know you can't. Can
I
you
don't want to
tell
spoil
me,
it.
in a non-spoilery way, where is the Federation? Is there a Federation in Discovery Season 3?
Yeah.
Okay, so it does exist,
Yes, it does.
but you cannot tell us in what fashion.
I can't explain what fashion, but it definitely does exist. And it's such a fulfilling moment when everyone is reunited. Even for
Okay.
Cleveland Booker, who's kind of anti,
Yeah.
Starfleet and whatnot. I think it's a very profound, powerful moment.
Now you had some in the trailer some lovely moments with Michael Burnham. And yes, and we got some lovely scenes of you, if I remember correctly, from Night Flyers. Are we going to see some more of this lovely black love on
Oh,
screen?
100, 100.
Black love in sp more black love in space.
Absolutely.
Like you have become the poster child for black love in space.
That's amazing. Chocolate in space.
I'm not mad at this.
Neither am I. No, it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. And I think it's great to be able to have that texture in this show. And especially for Michael Burnham, to have a character like Cleveland Booker, who, dare I say it, and I think it's quite wonderful, can connect with Michael Burnham on an invisible cultural level. I think there's something special about that, And I was really excited about being part of that union. And Sonequa Martin-Green is a absolute joy to
Now,
work with.
was
So much
she an
fun.
amazing like mentor? Like when you were on the set, like giddy, like, oh my God, I'm on a Star Trek set. Was she like, yeah, let me tell you about catering. Let me tell you, like, was she like a great mentor or a great handler?
Yeah, no, she absolutely, absolutely. She Sneagle just has this really great way of being really open to keep everyone involved. She's consciously aware that you're only as strong as your weakest player in the team. Not to say that weakness is a bad thing, but she just really believes in empowering the people that she's working with. And as she gives out that energy, we give it right back to her. She is literally lightning in a bottle. That's Sonequa, and then she comes on the set and we all collaborate. We're all super excited about these ideas. We know what we're going to be filming. We know how epic the first episode is going to be, which is lit.
Oh, come
Jeez.
on. Almost. Oh, I almost.
Jeez. Oh my.
Have you and her and other cast members been able to talk and connect since you wrapped?
Yeah, we have actually. Alex Kurtzman set up fortnightly Zoom cast meeting, which was wonderful. And we've been doing that since, I think, from March through until like last week. But every 2 weeks we meet up, all have a Zoom session, and we all just touch base and connect with each other. And it's been one of the most wonderful things to consistently happen, and everyone's sharing their different stories. And I don't know, there was just something about sharing stories and how you're feeling with people who you admire and who you work with, who are like your mini family. And we were all our like support network during really challenging times, and I'm forever grateful for that period of time.
And where, like, are you in London proper? Where are you? Are you? I
I'm
mean,
in the outskirts of
I
London.
don't need your house number. I'm just saying.
That's all good. I'm the outskirts of London. So I'm like,
okay.
I'm trying to think of the equivalent of New York. Maybe Jersey, New Jersey,
yeah.
suburbs,
yeah. sort of suburbs. Okay.
Yeah, just more space, more greenery.
Yeah, and I was gonna say more space. COVID is different when there's more space.
Yes.
But even some of the protests and things like that, I was just wondering how close you were to those, and you know, and physically, whether or not you were out there, you knew people who were out there, and because everybody's purview of how they're moving through the world is a little bit different. It's like you said,
yeah,
it's a little bit slower, a little bit more considerate right now.
Yeah, which is special. It's one of the silver linings that's come out of this really terrible, terrible situation. And the world needs more empathy and kindness and patience. And it goes without saying, it's very unfortunate that it's come about through this way. But just to see the compassion that strangers have towards each other and consideration, I think is something that we should keep as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Really important. And I'm going to make the conscious effort of making sure that I'm also playing my part in just being a better person to strangers especially.
Isn't it interesting how, like, when you ask somebody, like, hey, how are you? You kind of mean it now.
Yeah.
That's happened to me. That's happened to me. Like, no, really. Yeah. Like, look me in my face. How are you? Are you okay?
Yeah. What is that? Because I can't even explain that.
I think we've
never had that before, whatever that is.
I think in times of stress, and I feel like in times of like we're being faced with our own mortality in a lot of these situations.
Mm-hmm.
I know I am. And yes, I think that's what makes you stop. And we're now seeing people's humanity. I mean, this is New York. We don't talk to each other here.
Yeah, yeah.
Just walk by.
And I mean, the same.
You just exactly now the there's same. People like, hey, I haven't seen you for a while. How are you doing? Are you okay? Is your family okay?
Yeah.
And I feel like when people are saying it, they mean it.
Yeah, yeah. That's the difference.
I really, really want that to stay.
Me too.
Absolutely. But I think the concept of it being fleeting is also the other reason why I think a lot of people are doing that.
Right. Yeah. That was well explained, actually.
Speaking of fleeting, I'm curious. There's, you know, and I don't think Discovery does not have this problem, but there's been a lot of talk, obviously, since everything has come out this summer about more diversity in writers' rooms, more diversity in casting, more diversity in directing and things like that. And specifically, more Black directors, more Black writers, not just more Black actors.
Yeah.
Do you feel that that sentiment is here to stay, or do you think it's sort of making its way around again, and if you get in on it now, great, and if you don't, maybe you'll catch it the next time it's popular?
I hope it's here to stay. I hope it's not a fad and not fleeting. I hope it's permanent. I hope people are genuinely inspired to actively want to do that, because I don't think it's just about ticking the boxes, because ticking the boxes already limits the potential of really actively pursuing diversity. When I think about diversity in front of and behind the camera, the two most diverse sets I've been on in all the years I've been blessed to, you know, do acting is Supergirl and Star Trek. Like, they have set a bar standard which I'm very grateful for, but I won't hold other productions to the same standards, because it could be a bit disappointing. I have never felt so proud to be part of a production than I have with Supergirl and with Star Trek, just primarily based on the diversity in front of and behind the camera. It just makes a difference. I'm a city boy. I'm used to being surrounded by people from all kind of different walks of life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's why shouldn't the world that we live in be reflected on camera and behind camera? It's really important. I want to hear diverse stories from around the world. I don't want there to be one binary way of thinking. It should be multifaceted. I think we should all strive towards that.
Do you, I, it's funny because I look at you as a role model also. Like for me, when I was little, it was seeing Uhura in the back of, you know, the room, always listening, always knowing what was going on. And I'm like, see, but she's there and she's in it and they have to talk to her because she's translating everything.
Yes.
You know, so that was, she was sort of my role model. Has it ever really hit you that there's a little boy somewhere that's going to be watching this or a teenager that's going to be like, yo, you know what? I could do that. Not just act, but I could, this person inspires me to think outside the box. Did you think about that?
That's amazing. I'm happy I didn't think about it because it would have overwhelmed me in the most
wonderful
way. I said overwhelmed, isn't it? It is actually terrifying. You completely heard my subtext. I remember shooting the first episode, and the director of the first episode is Tunde, wonderful Tunde, and I remember he pulled me aside. Oh man, it really blesses my spirit. It was so kind. He pulled me aside and he said, David, when I was growing up and watching Star Trek, I wish I had a character like you to emulate. And I looked at him and I was laughing. I thought, yeah, whatever. And he was dead serious. And that really touched me. That was really, really special. And I don't really have much to say about that. I'm deeply humbled. But I think it's important that we see representation. I think it's very important.
It's incredibly important. And for the people who are wondering, I believe you're talking about Olatunde Oshunsami.
That's the one. Sorry, and, Tunde for short. Yeah, of course.
And Tunde, first of all, can
good
we just shout?
Good, by the way. Well done.
Thank you. Can I just shout out to Tunde for, I think, putting the most Nigerians in space?
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, wait a minute. He's calling his cousins. He's calling everybody.
That was the funniest thing. On set one day, I remember our AD, what was he saying? There was a few of us on set, and there was also Gersha Phillips, who is our costume designer, the wonderful Gersha Phillips. And there was Oyin and then a few others. We're all on set. We're all talking and Tunde was there. And then Patrick, the AD, came along and he was like, we're all talking about Nigeria and stuff. And he's like, well, you know what? Nigeria is definitely taking over and I wouldn't have it any other way.
I'm just saying, Nigeria
you bring
is
joy. You said you bring joy.
Nigeria, you know, is straight representing.
Sorry, Saniqua did her DNA test and did she is... what was it? 75% Nigerian.
So basically catering changed to egusi and fufu. That's what happened, right? That's like plantains. That's you laugh, but that's what I'm saying. You get back there for another season. Now you just got to taste it. She's the star, so she can make all these recommendations.
Game changer. Egusi, fufu. You don't know what hit them.
No.
We're going to bring some extra seasoning into Star Trek.
Look.
Wow. Why not?
But it really sounds like you had an amazing, amazing experience. And we're all so excited to see what not just your character does, but everybody does season three. Mm-hmm. Before I let you go, please tell us one thing that you really want everybody to take away from this season.
Well, first and foremost, we're 1,000 years into the future. So we've departed from canon. But at the same time, we are very, very sensitive and mindful to make sure that we keep the essence of Star Trek throughout the entire season. Just because we're 1,000 years into the future doesn't mean that we have to abort what makes Star Trek Star Trek. I hope the fans of who have watched season one and two, or for the people who are joining and season three is their introduction to Star Trek, I hope they come at it with a very open mind, keep their hearts open, their eyes open, and their sense of imagination open, because we've worked really, really hard to create something that hopefully should be profoundly moving and inspiring.
And then my final question is just a funny one. We need something behind the scenes. I need something behind the scenes that was hysterical. Like, I need to know who the practical joker is. I need to know.
There's a few of us. Oh, there's a few of us. We have time. We have time. We've got a few more minutes. We've got time.
Okay.
We're good.
Okay. I need to know who just couldn't help themselves. And they just, time and time again, just couldn't help themselves from driving everybody crazy.
Tunde is one. Absolutely. Absolutely. Jonathan Frakes is another. Saniqua, Patrick, Ronnie, Mary, Doug, Wilson, Mr. Rapp, Anthony Rapp, Blue. Everyone has an element of just being mischievous in their own different ways. And one thing that I've noticed that we've started to do more and more is impressions of each other. That's the funniest thing.
Okay, well, you can't say that and not give me an impression.
I have to kind of be in the zone in the moment of it. I've got like Saniqua, I've got a couple for Saniqua. It's her walk sometimes when she interacts with people. You know, there's, and the thing is, for those who are on set and who are living and breathing with us day in, day out, they will really pick up on the nuances of when we're doing impersonations of people. Saniqua's, I've got down pat. Saniqua's impersonation of myself is so funny. It makes me cringe.
Now,
it
this is
the
like
funniest thing, and everyone laughs.
Reason 437 why I have to talk to Saniqua Martin Green.
You have to, absolutely. And I don't know if it's down to me encouraging her about doing the British accent. But not only does she do the British accent, she also does my walk. And I remember when she first did it, and then some of the crew members saw, and they all started to laugh. Oh, man, that was humbling.
Now, is Saniqua the person that could make you break character the quickest? I mean, I know you weren't in scenes with everybody, but yeah. were there other people that also got you, could make you break?
Mary Wiseman.
You're just laughing even thinking about it. Oh, my God.
That girl is funny. She is funny. Everyone's got their little things that they do that just make me chuckle. But, yeah, it's Mary and Saniqua. Those two, they get me often.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thanking you. This was so sweet. I really enjoyed this. And yes, I can't wait for you to see the season.
Yes, and I can't wait till they turn the planet back on and I can see you in person.
Yes.
I know, right? But like I said, you are, I told you last year when I saw you, I was like, yeah, you know, Supergirl was cute, but you're about to blow up. Are you ready? And you didn't
believe. And this is the thing, you asked me this before. I remember when we were in New York Comic Con and we were walking the floor. And I
was like, this is the last time you can do this with a civilian.
That's exactly what you said. That's exactly what you said. And again, I enjoy just being slightly rebellious and just enjoying the luxury of, you know, being anonymous and embracing my anonymity. I will continue to go with the flow for sure.
Okay, but, CBS, if you're listening, if he goes missing again, it wasn't me.
It was absolutely you, CBS. You heard it from the horse's mouth.
Thank you.
I'll brace myself for it. I will.
Yes, have your security. Have your sunglasses.
You're hired. I was just waiting for you to just offer it out.
Just put it out there. Okay.
Yeah, thank you. You're hired. Done deal. I'll send the paperwork.
Look, as long as I get some Agusi and Fufu out of it, I'm good. It's so eerie now that I've watched the whole season, knowing that it was written and recorded way before the pandemic happened. Now, I've actually seen the season 3 finale of Star Trek Discovery, and I'm fascinated by what happens next. And spoiler alert, David's character, Book, lives to the end of the season. We're very happy about that. Thanks so much for listening. As always, please follow me across social media. I'm The Blurred Girl everywhere. And don't forget to check out my Patreon at patreon.com/TheBlurredGirl. See you next time.